Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. We're going to talk Stratford Hall in Westmoreland with a couple of guests. It's been a couple of years since we have talked about Stratford Hall, but Karen Daly, the president of Stratford Hall, here this morning along with Ann Wilson. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for getting up and driving a little bit of a ways and coming in this morning.
Good morning, Ted. It's great to be back with you.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here.
We have a lot to talk about. For those who are not aware, Karen, talk a little bit about just the history of Stratford Hall. I'll say right off the bat, it's in Westmoreland, but it is a great drive. You get on Kings Highway, you get on Route 3, and you go east, and you just keep driving, and you make a left, and you're there.
Absolutely, and it's Route 3. When you get into Westmoreland County, Ted, it's a scenic byway, so It really is lovely. Less than an hour, you can make it from here where we are in the studio. In about 40 minutes, You can be at Stratford Hall. It's tremendous. We've got 2,000 acres of history and natural resources preserved and conserved on the northern neck of Virginia, a really incredible historic preserve. We are able to tell the story of the Lee family as the home of the Lees of Virginia, and the what the lives of colonists were like, as well as the enslaved population and all those who called the land home. So really, really wonderful history.
Well, and so much with Stratford Hall, really until it was, I think this was before COVID, when I spent part of a day with you two going around a lot of those 2,000 acres. And I had always focused on the Great House, and we will talk about it, and it is just terrific. But there are so many other parts to Stratford Hall.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, with 2,000 acres of natural and human history preserved and presented, there's just tremendous assets that you can see. So we have incredible architecture. Ted, you mentioned the Great House, of course, built in 1738 when Thomas Lee had acquired the property and then built the plantation there. A number of other historic outbuildings. We've got a restored historic mill down by the water. We have 2 miles of Potomac River beachfront, incredible cliffs overlooking the Potomac.
Yes, incredible doesn't even describe the scenic views of some spots there.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. We're about 20 to 30 miles up from the Chesapeake Bay, but You get a real great idea of what the river, how important the river was historically for trade and commerce, and how important it still is economically for not just the Northern Neck, but for Virginia. I mean, you know, we're a wonderful region for oysters, for crabs, for fishermen, and with that, all of the wildlife habitat that comes with it. So, I mean, there's not a week that goes by that you don't pass some eagles, you know, cresting over the cliffs at Stratford. It really just takes your breath away.
I was going to say, but what a great office to have when you can see that kind of stuff. And I'm sure that the COVID was a challenge, especially to historic sites. And you, along with some others, did some really clever things. I enjoyed a lot of the online things that you offered, but boy, it was a challenge to everybody.
It was. Thank you for tuning in to those. Yeah, it was a challenge, but it was so great to be able to pivot virtually like a lot of people did and offer a number of historic cooking demonstrations, lectures, people. And then naturally it kind of started as we started to reopen, gave the opportunity for people to connect in person and virtually. So we went hybrid, which was great too. And so It's been wonderful to welcome people back to the site.
I think in some ways, especially places, just a lot of historic places, because we saw it here and you saw it there, people that may not have ever really looked closely at Stratford Hall did, because you could just sit on your computer and look at this stuff.
And that was wonderful, too. And really, we were able to reach people internationally, which we didn't expect, but people were tuning in from all over the world, which was great.
And the rest of the team did such a wonderful job in that pivot, Ted. And she's right. We captured audiences that maybe can't easily get to the Northern Neck, and mm-hmm. we really do want to retain them. So as we've come back hybrid, of course, we want to bring as many people as possible to experience Stratford Hall in person. But we've also retained a number of those virtual offerings. So we still do offer a number of virtual programs and lectures and demonstrations. We had one recently on historic foodways. We also have an incredible new virtual 360-degree tour available online that we hope allows folks to be able to really explore the entire site, all 2,000 acres, but also go dive deeply with our collection. That 360-degree tour was sponsored for us by the Francis and Beverly DeBose Foundation. Mm-hmm. And we found in our research that, you know, providing that kind of access online actually does help entice people to the site. It doesn't replace the on-site experience.
Right.
And then for folks who might just want a quick snippet of history, our new director of research and library, Dr. Gordon Blaine Steffi, has launched a new microcast, a kind of mini podcast.
I've seen that.
Yeah, called Stratford Mail. And so it's 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. It highlights particular manuscripts and artifacts in the library and archival collection and brings to life the words of the Lees through those letters and those documents and puts it into context so you can learn a little bit more about the incredible revolutionary spirit of the Lee family.
Well, and Karen, that I'm sure for you and for him and others, that's a great outlet because you have so much.
Absolutely.
When we sat that day just in the library, all the different things you have, and it's too much for anybody to even talk about in one sitting, but to be able to do that and kind of parse it out that way on a podcast is a great thing.
Absolutely, Ted. I mean, there's tens of thousands of pages of archival documents and historic manuscripts in the Stratford Hall collection. And again, we welcome researchers and scholars and the general public to come engage with that history and that collection. But these virtual opportunities also allow us to get that history out and connect it with the broader public around, not just around the country, but around the world.
StratfordHall.org, the website. There's also a great Facebook page that will keep you up to date. We're going to talk about just the history around Stratford Hall this morning and some upcoming events. We'll do that when we come back. Ann Wilson here, Karen Daly. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Front Porch. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Stratford Hall in Westmoreland, our focus this morning. Karen Daly and Ann Wilson here. Let it be said, and let the record show, Karen, that you are wearing a scarf that has all the signers. It's like the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. A lot of historic people come in here. No one brings that in that represents their place like
right.
you do.
Well, of course, at Stratford Hall, we're incredibly proud to have been the home of the only two brothers to have signed the Declaration of Independence, Richard Henry Lee and Francis Lightfoot Lee. And together, truly, with their family, they helped give birth to the United States of America.
Yeah.
So we are excited about that history. We're also excited about the upcoming 250th anniversary, the semi-quincentennial, Ted. I've been practicing pronunciation.
I wouldn't be ready for it. As soon as you
right.
said it, I thought, I don't think I've done that one.
But of course, the Declaration, you know, dates to 1776. And so we're coming up in 2026 on that 250th anniversary of the founding of our nation. And so we're going to be hosting, in conjunction with a number of our regional partners in the Northern Neck, a series of exhibitions and programs, scholarly symposia, as well as big family fun events like programs on the 4th of July to commemorate this incredible 250th anniversary that's coming up.
Wow, 2026 is not that far away
either. It is not that far away. And again, we've got great partners in a new commission, the Northern Neck. Northern Neck 250 is our name for it, and working in conjunction with our partners in Westmoreland County, Richmond County, as well as King George County, Northumberland, and Lancaster County.
I was just a kid in 1976, and I know that was a huge deal. This is pretty big.
It is, absolutely. And so we'll be looking to grow partnerships with the local school systems, of course, drive attention toward, you know, colonial history. But the Northern Neck really, really owns this anniversary, if you think about it. I mean, with the birthplace of so many early American presidents, we've got George Washington born just up the road from Stratford Hall. Mm-hmm. We've got, of course, our two signers of the Declaration of Independence, Richard Henry and Francis Lightfoot Lee. We also have the Leedstown Resolutions, which predate the Declaration by 10 years and were really one of the first attempts of the colonists to strike out independently against, you know, what they saw as overreach by Great Britain, by the mother country. And the Leedstown Resolution, I mean, if you read it, there's some language in there that was pretty much lifted directly and then borrowed, shall we say, by, you know, our friend Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration.
I did not know about Leedstown, but I learned about it on Facebook, your Facebook page. It was sometime in April. There was some kind of a date, and it came up. And I went and I read the sign. You had a picture of the state sign that was up there.
Yeah.
And talked about it.
Absolutely. And we're working with a number of our partners. There'll be some signage efforts throughout the Northern Neck to drive more visibility and attention to these really incredible historic events that happened in this region of Virginia.
It is so interesting when you actually sit and read, because the last few years, the Washington Heritage Museums on 4th of July has read the Declaration of Independence in downtown Fredericksburg. To actually hear the whole document read, there's a lot of things that you sit and you think, there are things in there that really are very contemporary even to today.
Absolutely, Ted, and that's such a nice connection for us. We really strive at Stratford Hall in our programming to connect back to that history, but to also bring things into the present day to connect to that relevancy today. We've got a number of scholarly programs coming up that are attempting to do that. We host every summer a teacher seminar, and this year that's going to be hosted on July 6th to the 9th. We partnered with Preservation Virginia, and our teachers on site will be exploring religion and spirituality from the colony to the Commonwealth. We also have two different symposia scheduled, one this spring focused on African-American cemeteries. We've been doing a lot of research and work toward commemorating the lives of the enslaved at Stratford Hall. And so we'll be hosting Dr. Michael Blakey from the College of William & Mary as our keynote speaker and a number of panelists. That's coming up on May 20th. And then in the fall, on September 9th, we'll be hosting Pitt, Peel, and the Patriots in conjunction with some of our local partners, the Westmoreland Museum and the Preservation Northern Neck Middle Peninsula Group. That's going to be a one-day symposium on Charles Wilson Peel, who commissioned a painting of William Pitt. And we'll be talking about both the history around the painting, but also about the restoration and reproduction of the painting.
One of the things, Karen, that when we talk about this, and it you know, the fact that you've got two brothers who have signed the Declaration, but when you just actually sit down and you think about how difficult that must have been to decide to do that, and just how they put themselves at risk. There was a lot to it. It was more than just, yeah, we'll sign.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we really like to bring to light, Ted, that we're hoping at Stratford Hall certainly to inspire our visitors, and that we learn from the courageous struggles of our ancestors, but both from what they endured as well as from what they accomplished. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all rainbows and unicorns, right?
Yeah.
I like to think about it. There was some real courage involved in putting their names to these documents. And there was disagreement within the family. You know, the Lees were a powerful revolutionary family in colonial America, but they played different roles. And the brothers in that generation, Richard Henry Lee and Francis Lightfoot, his their brother Arthur, I mean, they, Philip Ludwell Lee, they each played a different role, and some were more embracing of this revolutionary spirit, others more sympathetic toward the crown. And so looking at the ways that different members of the same family played a role, I think can, again, really inspire us today to recognize, you know, we may disagree, but there's a role for all of us as Americans to be civically engaged.
Right. No, and you think about when you have holiday gatherings and how you want to stay away from certain topics, it would have been like that. I mean, these were life and death kind of things going on.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And in some cases, you know, we have the letters that show those disagreements. We have, you know, a response that one of the brothers wrote to Hannah Corbin Lee, their sister, talking about apparently she had made some plea for remembering the women and women's rights. And so again, even there, you know, they were grappling with these issues and recognizing that I think that, you know, these founding documents and the way they were being implemented were not perfect, right? Mm-hmm. But that it was an effort toward a more perfect union, and that's a, you know, a struggle that we, you know, retain today, working toward that more perfect union in the 21st century.
As we have talked over the years and done various shows with Stratford Hall, it does seem that you do have a lot of documents, a lot of historic places, I don't know, has the kind of documentation and the letters that you all have.
It's so true, Ted, and I think that's one of the things that that really attracted me to the opportunity at Stratford Hall was the incredible primary source material that we have. I mean, not just in the surviving architecture, which is in and of itself incredible and gives us evidence of those early Lees, but also the early enslaved peoples who built the building. I mean, we have actual fingerprints in the historic bricks that were made on site. Yes, in the 1730s, and it's profound. And in the letters, we certainly have documentation about the lives of those who lived and worked at Stratford Hall. We also have it in the archaeology. I mean, there have been tremendous archaeological investigations at Stratford Hall done over the years. We had a very long-running partnership with the University of Mary Washington and their historic preservation program and archaeologists running field schools. And so we have, again, not just documents, but these tangible these tangible artifacts from over 200 years ago that bring to life those that built Stratford Hall, that ran it, and it's powerful. We had our director of, vice president of collections, Dr. Kelly Fanto-Dietz, had been working on an archaeology program this spring, and one of our volunteers, who is a descendant of an African-American who was enslaved at Stratford Hall, an African-American descendant, was volunteering on site to work with the archaeology. She's helping to clean it as we catalog it and inventory it and then make it available for researchers. And so she was able to actually handle artifacts that her ancestors would have touched, would have perhaps created and left behind. And that really does set Stratford Hall apart, again, that we have these incredibly rich primary source materials and material culture from the founding era of our nation.
Yeah, I'm sure with some of that, as you're sitting, you look at it and you think that not many people have even seen this document in all these years. So that's pretty cool.
It is. And it can be, again, moving and personally so when you're connected, you're right, your family history is tied to this land and this place. And that's really special. I mean, that Stratford Hall has maintained such a strong relationship with the descendants of the Lee family and is looking to build and grow our relationship with those who are connected to the site in other ways as well.
And you make a good point that especially when you're looking at colonial history, there is so much of it, obviously, in Virginia. But there is a lot of it. We don't talk enough about the Northern Neck. We look at some of these other pockets of the state where things did happen. But the Northern Neck is really rich in colonial history.
It is, Ted. I've got to say, I mean, I'm a William & Mary grad, and there's a lot, of course, of incredible history in the Williamsburg area. And I think as we're planning for our 250th, Williamsburg wants in some ways, I think, to own that, right? The colonial capital, of course, is in Williamsburg. The war pretty much ends in, you know, with the Battle of Yorktown. So incredible history there. But I'm going to keep pushing, right, that we need the Northern Neck to be central to this semi-quincentennial.
Yeah.
And it was really the hotbed of the revolution. And we need to shine a light on that and bring more attention to it and celebrate and commemorate that history.
Now you take a look at whether it's with Stratford Hall and you've got Pope's Creek, and you've got Ferry Farm, and you've got this whole region has something to say about things too.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And we've got, again, great partners. So you can certainly make not only a whole day of it, but a whole weekend in the Northern Neck, looking, and even a week if you wanted to, exploring this colonial history.
Easily.
With the George Washington Birthplace National Park site, with Monocan down the road. Just really, again, really incredible Revolutionary War history.
And the Northern Neck itself is just some of these little towns on the water, or just little towns in the Northern Neck. It's a different world, and it's fun to explore.
It is. I mean you said it, Ted, when you get on King's Highway, right? As soon as you get outside of the Fredericksburg kind of mm-hmm. city limits, I mean, it goes beautiful and rural almost immediately.
Yeah.
Again, we've got a scenic byway, we've got incredible natural resources, huge amounts of acreage that have been put in conservation easement, preserved for future generations, a number of state parks in the Northern Neck. So there's a lot for everybody. You can kayak, you can crab, you can take a boat out on the mm-hmm. Potomac or the Rappahannock. Just incredible agricultural and marine history.
And Ann Wilson, if it's a rainy weekend, you can drive over to Stratford Hall and spend the day, and your family and your kids have all kinds of things to be able to see.
Absolutely. We've got so many things for kids. Explore the Great House, walk the nature trails, walk along the Potomac River beachfront. We also have a number of youth and family programming come up. Our popular fossil hunting excursions kicked off in May. Those are fill up really fast. Give the opportunity to have a guided tour to go fossil hunting for shark's teeth.
They are legendary. The shark's teeth, especially.
Absolutely. And we also have our family fun camp this summer, which is a 2-night, 3-day package filled with lots of fun for grandparents, parents, families. We're going to do a off-site field trip to Monocan. There's going to be tours of the Great House, educational demos about honeybees and candle making, roasting marshmallows by the campfire. And that is June 16th to the 18th. And then we also have Stratford Summer Saturday, which is a great opportunity for kids to learn about all aspects of our site: paleontology, archaeology, our collections, more fossil hunting, scavenger hunts, Great House tours, lots of fun. And we have lodging on site, so you can come and stay the weekend.
You
don't have to go anywhere.
Hold on to that thought. We're gonna talk about that and more about some of these events going on at Stratford Hall in Westmoreland. StratfordHall.org is the website. Also follow them on Facebook. Just great and up to date stuff. Ann Wilson and Karen Daly here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Stratford Hall in Westmoreland, our focus. StratfordHall.org is the website. Karen Daly's the president. Ann Wilson with marketing and communications here this morning, talking about all the good stuff with Stratford Hall. A couple weeks ago you had a big event that I saw all kinds of pictures and people enjoying themselves at.
Yeah. Are you referring to, was it the Oyster Bar?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That was it.
Yes. Yes. So we had a wonderful group of people come on site. As Karen was mentioning during the break, it was so wonderful to see all of the people coming back. Feel like we're finally starting to feel some great energy. It's been there, but to see, we had like 170 people on site for this event, and it was wonderful.
Just to have cars to have to be parked.
Yes, absolutely.
And people moving around.
It was wonderful, yes.
So again, May the 6th coming up, you've got the Brews and Barbecue Festival, and that's another chance, and I would think, and hopefully you get good weather and all of that.
Yeah, it looks like the weather's going to be great. You know, people I know are very familiar with our Wine and Oyster Festival every September, and we wanted to offer something in the spring, so we're doing Brews and Barbecue on Saturday, May 6th from 11 to 7. We've got breweries, cideries, distilleries, wineries from all over Virginia, artisan vendors coming on site, live music. The Great House will be open to wander through from 11 a.m. to 2. Lots of fun activities for kids with face painting, and our neighboring historic site, Minokin, will be there for some educational activities. And we're also going to have celebrity chef Chris Scott, who was on Bravo TV's Top Chef, coming and cooking in our historic kitchen and doing some barbecue cooking, along with our Vice President of Collections and Visitor Engagement, Dr. Kelly Fanto Dietz. And there's going to be barbecue samplings from him, which will be super fun. And Dr. Fred Smith from Colonial Williamsburg, who is a rum historian, will be there sampling, giving out samplings of rum as well.
You have covered a lot of areas.
I know, and tickets are on sale now through Early Bird, discounted tickets through May 4th, and then you can get tickets at the festival.
This does sound a lot like what you do in the fall. So
yeah, absolutely.
If you like that, you'll like this.
Absolutely. And then the barbecue demonstrations are just a nice added incentive. So if barbecue and beer is your thing, then this is the festival not to miss. We'd love to have you.
When you talk about the Colonial Kitchen, I experienced that is a fascinating place, because it really is like it was. There are a lot of things that a lot of sites where things are rebuilt, but this kitchen had a lot of things, and I know during COVID you did some Facebook Live things from there, and it's a pretty fascinating place.
It is, Ted, and as we talked a little bit about that earlier, that one of those things that sets Stratford apart, I really do think, is the sheer number of actual kind of historic fabric that survives. And so, you know, not only do we have the incredible Great House, right, to look at that was built in 1738, but we have the actual historic kitchen. I mean, that was built at that time as well. It's not a reproduction. It's not a rebuild. It's the actual 1738 kitchen. And we can still bake in that oven. We can still cook and demonstrate the historic ways that food were made. And we know about people like Caesar, the enslaved chef, who worked on one of the only chocolate stones that existed in Colonial Virginia to actually make chocolate and chocolate desserts and chocolate to drink for the Lee family and their guests during this period. Just incredible history that you can experience firsthand at Stratford Hall. In a way, I think that you can't experience anywhere else.
No, and to be able to point to those kinds of things, because when we talked about it, and then since I have seen programs from there, it is, you're just thinking, this happened right here.
Right here. In this actual place. You know, again, not a rebuild. This is the actual place, the actual oven. I mean, it's incredibly powerful. And so on May 6th, you'll be able to actually taste the barbecue that's going to be made in that historic kitchen by celebrity chef Chris Scott. And that's really profoundly powerful.
Yeah, oh, definitely. You talk about, you've mentioned it a couple of times, about just the architecture. Mm-hmm. And that really is. I mean, it's not only just the Great House has it in that, but really a lot of the outer buildings and as you go around the property, it really is the architecture or something. And again, it's all the original. It's the original architecture.
It is. And Stratford Hall is, I mean, truly unique. I mean, a lot of sites will talk about their incredible architecture. There is no other colonial house like Stratford Hall. I mean, the design of the entire house kind of on one floor with a service level underneath, it does not exist elsewhere. Those chimney stacks, you do not see those on other colonial homes from this period. It's beautiful and unusual. We don't know, you know, that there was necessarily who the architect was. So there's still a lot to learn. And that's another, I think, really exciting part about Stratford Hall is that visiting today, you can continue to see our preservation work in action. Mm-hmm. I mean, preservation is perpetual. It will go on forever. Right now, we're doing work investigating the east steps to figure out if we can determine what the colonial first period stairs might have looked like. And in that process, visitors can see. They can see the archaeology going on. They can see the architectural investigations. It's a continual work in process. And that's really exciting, kind of a CSI of preservation, yeah, so to speak, that you can experience at Stratford Hall.
It is interesting in a site like yours that you are able to, in fact, rewrite or be as you discover things you're able to modify the historical story as you learn more.
Absolutely, you're so right, Ted. We just, for example, just about a year ago, we dedicated a new terrace of our East Garden. Thanks to the generosity of the Garden Club of Virginia, the East Garden had been initially restored and installed back in the 1930s, mm-hmm, when the Ladies Association first took ownership of Stratford Hall and was opening it to the public. And it was done at the time in the 30s with their best understanding of what a colonial garden might have looked like. But now we know it was a colonial revival garden. We've learned more about colonial gardens since the 1930s, and so we were able, working with the Garden Club of Virginia and landscape architect Will Riley, to design a more historically authentic colonial garden. And so now if you come to visit Stratford Hall and come over to the East Garden, you can see how vegetables were interplanted with shrubs and with beautiful flowers. And it was meant not just as a beautiful garden for entertaining, but also to serve the household in terms of growing vegetables, artichokes and asparagus, and that then, you know, Caesar would have cooked in the kitchen to serve the Lees and their guests. So you're so right. As we learn more, we're constantly evolving our interpretation and sharing those learnings with the public.
Yeah. Did the Lees intend, they wanted the great house to, I guess, make a statement?
Oh, for sure. I mean, my understanding is it was probably the grandest house built in colonial America at the time that it was built.
I was just going to say, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of Williamsburg or anywhere around, and I can't think of anything that looks quite like that.
No. Now, it also, I believe that Philip Ludwell Lee, who was the kind of next generation to inherit the property from Thomas Lee, he didn't love the design of it. And he, in some of his letters, I believe, he kind of laments that his father let his mother have such a hand in the design of the house. So we think that, again, that there, you know, might have been a woman's touch in some of those those decisions architecturally.
Can you see, because I haven't, I, it's been a while since I don't know that I've ever walked around. Can you see that? It's a great house. Can you see it from the water?
Oh, good question. I don't think you can see it from the water. You can see the water from the great house.
Okay.
I mean, particularly right now, there's some tree cover, but up in the chimney stacks, you get a view to the Potomac.
Okay.
It's about a mile off the Potomac.
That's what I thought. I didn't think it was right there.
So it's possible historically that you might have been able to see it. Certainly, we know that the Lees timbered the land, and so the tree cover might have been missing, but it's a full mile off the river.
Yeah.
But you would have often come via the river. Certainly that was, you know, a major route to get to Stratford.
But they wanted people in the Northern Neck, or at least in Eastern Virginia, to know we're here and we've got this house.
It would have made a statement, certainly, as you pulled up, as you arrived in carriage or, you know, by boat to visit. It would have made a statement.
Oh, it does today.
It does.
I remember the very first time of just walking up and just thinking there's so many bricks and it's so tall, mm-hmm, and it's... And you go in and it's just very majestic.
It is indeed, and I think it's really one of the nicest things about attending the festivals is that they're all held on that oval,
yeah,
with the great house in the background, and so you get to experience that architecture while you're listening to the live music and sipping the beer. I think, Anne, we're going to have a love sign as well, aren't we?
Oh, that's right.
You're getting a love sign?
Yes, we have for the Brews and Barbecue Festival. We are getting Virginia Tourism Corporation is bringing one of their big big white love signs, and we're so that's going to be a fun opportunity for people to snap their photo.
Yeah,
those are super popular.
Oh,
people
they
travel
are.
All over the state to get their picture taken.
Have you had one before?
No, as far as I know, no.
Yeah.
And so we're really excited to have it. We'd love to have one permanently somewhere at Stratford Hall. But
yeah, it belongs somewhere.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I remember a few years ago that the Wildlife Center of Virginia did an eagle release, mm-hmm. and it was always those of us there as the photographers wanted to try to get you wanted when they released the eagle to be at a spot where you could have the great house somehow in it.
Yes.
So it's that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And all times of day as well. I mean, Ann mentioned that you can lodge on site. My daughter's Girl Scout troop is going to be coming down next month to explore and stay over. We're glamping, so to speak.
Yeah.
But the great house is staggeringly beautiful at all times of day. So to see it, to walk up on it, on a clear night with the moon and the stars.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You can, it's truly, you know, a kind of a dark sky area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep.
And the great house silhouetted against that night sky is staggeringly beautiful. It takes your breath away.
Your daughter's going to want to have a lot. They're going to use after when people come back and tell stories like that, mm-hmm. she's going to have a lot of new friends that are going to want to join her troop. So Ann, talk about staying on site and what's available.
Yeah, so we have three different lodging options. We have two guest houses, and we also have cabins where people can come and stay, which is great for families, groups traveling together. As Karen mentioned, it's a wonderful place to come and stay. You can wander the nature trails, walk along the Potomac beachfront. If you're coming for one of our festivals or any of our programs, it's always wonderful to really be able to come and stay and experience all aspects of the site over a weekend and overnight.
And that's something that not every site can offer. The fact
absolutely.
The fact that you can do that is worthwhile. And especially, like you said, I mean, you there's so much there. What 2,000
acres.
Yep.
And I know the day you and I, that we all drove around, whether it's trails or just various different things to go, you almost, to go for a few hours, you're really not seeing the whole site.
That's true. And you know, we have five self-guided audio tours as well, which I love. It's kind of like you can, you know, pick your own experience. You can either take one on the Lee men, the Lee women. We have a new children's audio tour, which is a kind of abbreviated version for our youngest visitors, which is super fun. We have the Crossroads African and African American Life at Stratford. So you can really come. And if you're staying on site, you could take one day, take one the next, really experience it from all different aspects.
So look into that. If you go to StratfordHall.org,
all that information.
Go and check that out. Ann Wilson here, Karen Daly here. We'll take one final break and wrap this up. Stratford Hall, our focus in Westmoreland. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Stratford Hall in Westmoreland, our focus this morning. Karen Daly and Ann Wilson here from Stratford Hall. And I think we have made the point that there is a lot to see over there. Come to Stratford, because really it is. And whether, like you say, you've got a state park over there, you've got Stratford. It's a great area of Virginia if you haven't explored it.
Absolutely, there is so much to do. From visiting the state park, visiting Stratford Hall, George Washington's birthplace down the road, Monokin. Our neighboring town of Montrose has great restaurants to enjoy. So you can really come and spend a few hours, spend a weekend.
And like we said,
you can stay right on at Stratford Hall.
To be able to stay at a site like that, I still can't get over that, because that's like going into the great into the great house and touching things. I mean, it's just, you don't do those kinds of things usually.
Absolutely. Yeah, to really, to have the opportunity to come and stay on the grounds of an historic site is truly, truly unique. And as Karen mentioned, you know, being there at night with the night sky, it's so peaceful and a real retreat.
Yeah. The May 6th, the Brews and Barbecue Festival takes place, and that's going to be a great thing. And if you like what's offered in the fall, you're going to like this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very similar to what we offer in the fall. It's going to be a beautiful spring day with delicious barbecue, food trucks, as I mentioned, wineries, cideries, breweries from all over the state. So grab your tickets.
And you can get them at StratfordHall.org?
Yes, you can get them at StratfordHall.org and at the festival, but discounted tickets are on sale through Thursday, May 4th.
Okay, May 4th, if you want if you want to do that. Again, StratfordHall.org. Again, what the Great House, Karen, when you're talking about history, the Great House is one of the great houses in American history.
It is, absolutely. And I think it's so staggering to think about, Ted, that, you know, for thousands of years, really, the land known as Stratford has given voice to the triumphs, the tragedies, the truths, right, that led to the formation of our country. We have such an incredible opportunity with this upcoming 250th anniversary to shine a light on that revolutionary spirit of the Lees of Virginia, Richard Henry and Francis Lightfoot Lee, who with their family helped give birth to the United States. You can learn about that at Stratford Hall, be inspired to become, again, civically engaged today, or be inspired by the natural beauty of the 2,000-acre historic preserve that we have available for visitors. So we hope to see you certainly for the Brews and Barbecue Festival on May 6th. But if you can't make it then, you're welcome to join us online and then come see us at any point.
That 250th anniversary in 2026 is going to be a big deal, and I hope I see you guys a lot leading up to that, because there's a lot of history to be talked about, and you're right in the middle. What did you call it again?
The semi-quincentennial, Ted.
Semi-quincentennial. That's going to take some work.
It will. And you know, we don't have 250th anniversaries, you know, come upon us often. So it's a word that we only come upon.
Yeah.
Right. Every generation. So
that is the great thing about Virginia. You run into some of these, but this one, just because in 1776 it was so big.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so many of us remember the bicentennial, and it was a huge deal for our nation. And we're looking back at those examples. Again, we'll be hosting a series of exhibitions, but also programs and lectures, symposia, and talking not just about the colonial history, the revolutionary history of Stratford Hall and the Northern Neck, but also about how we preserve and commemorate these historic sites and these anniversary events moving forward, so that they continue to be relevant and impactful for Americans today.
Well, as you've just in this last few minutes, you have given me all kinds of ideas of great stories to do in the upcoming time. So we will stay in touch and do that kind of thing. Again, May 6th, Brews and Barbecue Festival. And get your tickets, and also look for the family fun camp in June.
Absolutely.
Ann Wilson and Karen Daly with Stratford Hall. Thanks for making the trip
so much
over
for
here,
having us.
Because this is there really is a lot to talk about and a lot to see, and you will not be disappointed at anything with Stratford. And I had totally forgotten about the shark's teeth, because that's the one thing with kids.
Absolutely.
Everybody wants to find shark's teeth over there.
They book up faster than we can schedule them, Ted.
Sure.
So find your way to Stratford.
StratfordHall.org. Karen Daly, Ann Wilson, thank you both. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.